We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support. We're going to spend the next few minutes talking about someone the church is remembering on this day, Johannes Bugenhagen, Martin Luther's pastor and confessor. Our guest, Pastor Dennis Marsolf, is professor of music at Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. Pastor Marsolf, welcome very much to Issues Etc.
Thanks very much. Happy to be here.
How influential was Johannes Bugenhagen on Luther himself?
Well, you already mentioned that he was his pastor and his confessor. And I certainly think that there was a relationship there that was incredibly nurturing and supportive to Luther, as he went to his own pastor, Pastor Bugenhagen, and shared with him on a very intimate spiritual level the difficulties of his own life and of his work. I think as an influence, in some ways, Bugenhagen forced Luther to keep a very realistic attitude about the Reformation, especially since Bugenhagen was in touch with the pulse of the Reformation as it spread out from Wittenberg. Even though he was city pastor there in Wittenberg, he spent a great deal of time establishing the Lutheran Reformation in many of the great cities of northern Germany. And in that relationship, I think he was able to bring back to Luther many of the observations that he must have made on those trips to keep him abreast of how the evangelical movement was progressing in the real world of Europe in those days.
We've got about a little less than a minute here before our break. Just locate him in history, if you would, Johannes Bugenhagen, about less than a minute.
1485 he was born, and so when he came to Wittenberg, he was about 36, 35 years old when he arrived there. So he was at the beginning of his middle age in those days, and came to Wittenberg already with a career as a teacher and an influential priest and even someone who was comfortable hobnobbing with some of the great humanistic minds of his day.
So he's no country pastor. He's at Luther's level when it comes to the intellect and the gifts.
When he published his lectures on the Psalms in 1524, Luther said, he's the first one in the whole world who deserves to be called an exegete of the Psalms.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk more about Johannes Bugenhagen. Pastor Dennis Marsolf is our guest of Bethany Lutheran College. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin; Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin; Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois; Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland; Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming; Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington; Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois; Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas; St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska; Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri; Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois; Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin; Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois; Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois; and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes. Dedicated customer service and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Phil Hofflin, Marlena Baker, Kate Hirata, Jeffrey Hines, Candace Perez, Ralph Gruss, Sally Deckert, Richard Cook, Wolf Paul, and Pastor Kevin Wyckoff. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Johannes Bugenhagen, a pastor, a counselor, a ally of the great reformer Martin Luther's during the 16th century Reformation. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. It's Monday afternoon, April the 20th, and that's why we remember Bugenhagen today. This is the day on which he died. Usually the practice of the church to remember the saints old and new in this way. Pastor Malsoff, was there an early disagreement between Luther and Bugenhagen, especially over one of Luther's early writings on the Babylonian captivity of the church?
Well, when he first encountered it, and this is at a time when Bugenhagen was living up in a part of the world that we recognize today as northwestern Poland. And he had studied the Babylonian captivity, and his initial reaction was negative. But as he spent a little bit more time with that book, and this is this story apparently comes from Bugenhagen, although it's not really recorded until a couple of hundred years later. So it may be fact, it may be truth. But at any rate, his reaction to the book after he had studied it was essentially that the entire world is blind except for this one man who sees things as they truly are.
Now, he also is one of the first to kind of foresee the coming storm against the Reformation. Of course, it's early on aimed at Luther himself, but later with Luther's theological descendants, he seems to have some foreboding about the future of the Reformation. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, as he traveled, around and he saw, came face to face with the fact that the work of the Reformation was not something that happened overnight in any of the cities, in any of the regions that eventually adopted Lutheranism. And there were difficulties among Luther's followers as to if they would choose to maintain more of a Roman program, or if they would choose to try to ally themselves with others of a more humanistic approach to the Reformation, especially about things pertaining to the supper and issues like that.
He outlived Martin Luther. I understand he preached a sermon, a funeral sermon for him?
And he helped, he took care of Luther's wife after Luther's death, too. I think that there was a very close personal friendship between the two families, and that put him in a position to step up to the plate and help her out in those days before Social Security.
Talk about his other accomplishments in general, Johannes Bugenhagen.
I think that if we are to remember him for his most important work, it's certainly he was an ambassador of the Lutheran Reformation. He would actually leave Wittenberg and go to the cities where he had been called to establish a Lutheran form of not just worship, but actually a Lutheran form of government. When he went out and prepared these documents that we call church orders today, he was, of course, concerned about the order of worship and how the liturgy should be reformed, but he was also concerned about how the schools would be reformed and their curriculums, how the curricula of the schools would be changed, what pastors should be preaching about, how the civic funds would be dispersed, who would take care of the poor and the needy, what are we going to do with the monks and the nuns now that the monasteries are dissolved, and even in Denmark, when he went to Denmark, he was actually functioned almost as an old-time archbishop. He was the liturgist and the person who served to crown King Christian III and his wife. When the Lutheran Reformation came to Denmark, the king wanted to make a clean break with the past, and so he insisted upon being installed as king according to a Lutheran rite by the Lutheran pastor Bugenhagen.
Was there, with being an ally with Luther, were there particular times in the Reformer's career where Bugenhagen was of special help to Luther, regardless of the controversy or the project they undertook?
I think that there were times when, for instance, there was one time when the plague came to Wittenberg, and Bugenhagen stayed behind to help the people in the city. That was that's one of those stories of pastoral responsibility, I think, that's very near and dear. And I'm also thinking that as the two of them conversed about things, because they did have different opinions on certain matters, it's sort of an interesting story that when Bugenhagen was out of town, Luther established the practice of having all of the men who were graduating and being sent into the flocks as pastors. They were all ordained in Wittenberg. Bugenhagen would have preferred that they would have waited and been ordained at the churches to which they'd been called or appointed. And even though he didn't agree with that, he went along with Luther. Later on, the shoe was on the other foot. Luther, at one point in his liturgical renovation, speaks fairly highly of the practice of the elevation of the host and a cup, and Bugenhagen then actually takes that practice and no longer uses it in Wittenberg. And it's interesting to note that Luther, despite what he had written about that practice at one point, doesn't go into a big, there wasn't a great difficulty about that. Bugenhagen was especially careful, I think, because he saw so much of the superstition that surrounded the consecrated hosts in the areas that he visited, that he was very, very careful. And he may have been affected as well by a little bit more of a Calvinistic leaning and an understanding of the supper later in his life.
I want to come back to that in just a second, but it sounds as though if we were going to trace, especially since Bugenhagen did a lot of the establishing of the Reformation in various parishes, if we were going to trace a Lutheran historic practice to someone, it would be traced very nicely to Bugenhagen in many cases. Is that right?
That's very true. Yeah, his influence was very far-reaching, and especially in the churches of the North. And when we begin to talk about the city of Lübeck, which was an imperial city, and it was the place where the Hansa, this very wealthy economic league, had its headquarters, Lutheranism left Lübeck and went all over the world with these sailors and merchantmen.
Was there a temptation after Luther's death for Bugenhagen to compromise when they were trying to find some way of bringing peace to the warring theological factions?
He was especially caught up with the difficulties of the interims. And the interim times were times when the Roman Catholics appeared to have the better hand in the deck and were reinstituting and forcing the Lutheran parishes to use as much of the Catholic ritual as they possibly could, and also to adopt language that talked about especially the doctrine of justification so that it sounded as palatable to the Roman Catholic position as possible. A lot of times, initially Bugenhagen was invited to the meetings where they were preparing the interim masses. Eventually, though, he was no longer invited because he was kind of a stalwart. There were things he was not going to give in on, certain aspects of the Roman liturgy that were being foisted back upon the Lutherans that he just felt he could not go along with them. However, he did sign his name to one of the documents from the Leipzig interim, and later on he blamed Melanchthon and others for what he said, they threw sand in my eyes. And I think by that he was implying that he had been assured that Lutheranism wouldn't be sacrificed, when in fact, in retrospect, it probably was being sacrificed.
Finally then, how would you summarize his influence and the best reason for remembering the pastor, Luther's confessor and companion, Johannes Bugenhagen?
I think in a day and age when we, in the church especially, we're always interested about how we're going to reach out to the world with the evangel as we Lutherans understand it, and to look at Bugenhagen's tireless efforts and also his very his strength and his ability to make a practical estimation of how Lutheranism was going to have to put itself together to function in the world, without sacrificing itself, and he did that on numerous occasions. And I think also we see in him a wonderful pastoral attitude that existed between him and this great man Martin Luther. That must have been a daunting position to be in. And I think that many of the successes of the Lutheran Reformation are due to Bugenhagen's support of Luther when maybe Luther was questioning his ability and the validity of the work at hand.
Pastor Dennis Marsolf is professor of music at Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
A great Lutheran resource, a thoroughly Reformation-grounded resource for study, is coming out quickly from Concordia Publishing House. It's called the Lutheran Study Bible. This is a study Bible unlike any up to this time. It really is, in fact, the result of long scholarship and the best fruits of the Lutheran Reformation theologically and devotionally. It's all found there in the Lutheran Study Bible. You can find out more about it at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking with Dr. Gene Rudd about in vitro fertilization. Why does it take so many embryos to get this done? Isn't there a better way? We will also be having some audio open lines. We're going to be hearing an ABC News story on the GOP and gay marriage. I got a question for you during audio open lines. Do you think if the GOP goes in the direction of affirming gay marriage, do you think you can stay with the party if you're a Republican? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. We'll be right back with Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.